Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد Every family should have a dream and desire that they raise within their walls children who will be the carriers of the Qur'an. Our children are the ones that carry the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the next generation. For this is the tradition of Islam. Every generation took this amana and gave it to the next one. And then they gave it to the one after that. Today we have that very same responsibility that we encourage those that are within our homes to build their personal ta'alluq and relationship with the Qur'an. There are different ways to teach and educate. Sometimes we rely too much on our words, that if I say something, the other person will implement it. Words have their place in education, setting a standard, developing an environment. But greater than words are actions. When you lead through your actions, people will see you won't have to even say much. They will follow you. This is the power of an uswa, a role model. We are always looking for role models. From a young age, every child is looking for light and guidance, strength, intelligence within their own family members, and particularly they look at their mom and dad before anyone. That, how does my father carry himself? How does my mother carry herself? On one side, if we tell our family members, build a relationship with the Qur'an, but on the other hand, we don't have a positive relationship with the Qur'an, how will they go on to inherit that legacy? We turn to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we see the Prophet of Allah was so positive in his messaging. Many of us grew up in households where the Qur'an was used as a punishing tool. When if we didn't do what we were supposed to do, our parents would at times say, okay, punishment for you is go and read the Qur'an. Or if they made a promise to us that, you know, do this, accomplish this much of a goal in the Qur'an and we will reward you this way, when it came time for rewarding, they didn't show up. Showing us that the Qur'an was just something to keep us occupied with, something to keep us busy with. It's as if those parents were shedding a guilty conscience they had of not building that personal relationship themselves onto their children. That I didn't have it, so now you better do it. We break them into the Qur'an rather than softly molding them into the Qur'an. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu talks about the mentorship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in the years that he was with the Prophet of Allah, 10 years, the Prophet of Allah never scolded him. He didn't shout at him. He didn't strike him. He turned to parents and asked them, why are you so harsh with your children when it comes to the Qur'an? They say, because the children don't know any other language. We have to hit them. We have to scold them. We have to shout at them. If I don't raise my voice, how are they going to read the Qur'an? Well, ask yourself, is that the relationship that you want with your own child? How will that reflect their connection with the Qur'an? When they think of the Qur'an, they're going to think of a grumpy mother and father who was just really angry and mad and didn't care about how they felt in the process. Who stopped paying attention to the individual at the center that was struggling. Struggling not only with memorizing the Qur'an, but possibly struggling with life. Possibly struggling at school. Possibly struggling with their own relationship with their parent, and now the Qur'an is being used as a cover to push them along life. We must build a good relationship with our own children. When we speak about the Qur'an, use a soft tone. Don't raise your voice. Don't be angry. Fight your urge. And the same goes with salah. Shouting at your children that it's salah time is not going to motivate them to pray salah. Rather, it'll turn them away. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in one instance, throughout his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most soft and kind with people in their times of struggle. One sahabi prays salah behind the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and he sneezes. And everyone's silent. It's prayer time. No one's going to say anything. So in prayer out loud, he says, Allahumma arhamni wa muhammada wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. O Allah, shower your mercy upon me and the Prophet and no one else. Everyone's silent. First of all, you're not supposed to talk in salah. And secondly, if you do, why say such a thing? What about all the other Muslims here? After salah was over, the Prophet asked, Man al-qa'il? Who said this? So the man identified himself. Think about our circumstance, our communities, our families. We would rush in scolding that person, shouting at them, punishing them, make them hold their ears, humiliate them, possibly strike them, you know, maybe use foul words towards them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response, لَقَدْ حَجَّرْتَ وَاسِيَا. You have narrowed down such a vast pool of Allah's mercy just for the two of us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kind. And that's what caused the hearts of people to be inclined towards him. We have the selective kindness that outside the home, we are very kind. You go to a person's workplace, they describe the person as being perfect, amazing character, smiling, always available, always present. I send him a text message, he responds right away. This person is full of, you know, kindness and good words. But then you turn to their own children, and specifically those children that you're working on building a relationship with the Quran, and they are the ones that are crushing under the rock of pressure of life. Who is there to help them? The parent's job isn't to break their child. The parent's job is to lift their child, to work with them. How many children do we know, unfortunately, that have memorized the Quran because their parents pushed them at a young age, and later on in their life, everyone regretted that journey? Because those children, not only did they become distant from their parents, but they also became distant from the very same Quran. And then, unfortunately, the sorrow in all of this is, and this I've seen with my eyes, those children grow up and they repeat it all over again. They assume that this is how it's supposed to be. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I'll share with you a narration narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi from Malik bin Huwairith radiallahu anhu. قَالَ أَتَيْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَنَحْنُ شَبَبَةٌ مُتَقَارِبُونَ. He says that we were a group of people that arrived in Medina Munawwara. Everyone was young. We were all almost the same age. فَأَقَمْنَا عِنْدَهُ عِشْرِينَ لَيْلَةً. And we spent 20 days in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam رَحِيمًا رَفِيقًا. We spent 20 days with the Prophet of Allah, young people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very compassionate and gentle. فَلَمَّا ظَنَّ أَنَّا قَدْ اشْتَقْنَا أَهْلَنَا. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that we were missing our family members, 20 days later, you miss your mom, miss your dad, miss your spouse, miss your siblings. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us, سَأَلْنَا عَمَّنْ تَرَكْنَا بَعْدَنَا. Tell us me about the people that you left at home. Tell me about your people. فَأَخْبَرْنَاهُ. We gave all the details to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ ارجعوا إلى أهليكم فأقيموا فيهم وعلموهم ومروهم وصلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. Go back to your families. It's time for you to go home. Spend time with them, be with them, teach them, and command them to do good. And pray as you saw me praying in front of you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted them to take this compassion, this love, and go back to their communities and spread it to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's intelligence, what kind of teacher and mentor was he, that he kept an eye very closely on the student, noticing when they were exhausted, when they were tired. The teacher in the madrasa may add a little extra load on the student. Sometimes the student may add a little extra load on themselves, but it's the parent's responsibility to look after the child, that if you see your child is exhausted, pull them back a little. Take them for a walk. If you notice that your child is so buried in their studies that they haven't had a day or two free or a few hours free every day, pull them back a little bit. When you show interest in their leisure, and when you show that you're interested in playing with them and for them to have a good time in life, they will then pour back dividends in you. But if all you want of them is clean the house, if all you want of them, you know, involves chores and responsibilities and command after command after command and holding them responsible and telling them how horrible they are and just lathering the guilt on them, then you can't expect a positive human being to come out of that. The child grows up to resent their family. Unfortunately, it's quite expected. Raising a hafiz of the Quran involves fixing yourself first. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. When your character is immaculate, when your smile radiates love, when your presence brings warmth and joy to people around you, mark my words, your family will fall in love with the Quran. But you will need to lead them. You will have to be the guide. Make your messaging clear. That memorizing the Quran isn't something that must be done in 2 years, 3 years. Parents start their children off when they're 6 years old. We hear these stories all the time. It's not necessary. Not only is it not necessary, sometimes it can come at the detriment of the child, their psychology. Memorizing the Quran is a very big task. Not that it can't be started at a young age, the qisar, suwar, having them memorize some smaller chapters of the Quran, helping them develop fluency in the Quran. Your task is to watch them and see when the time is right. And for some people, that time is right will come when they're 10 years old. For other children, it'll be when they're 13 years old. For someone, it may come when they're 17 years old. Another person, maybe when they're 20 years old. I was speaking to a sister who told me this week that, Sheikh, I'm on the verge of completing my memorization of the Quran. And she's already married, alhamdulillah. So I asked her, did anyone tell you to do this? She said, no, no one told me to do it. I just saw the relationship my family had with the Quran. And after I graduated from my studies, I knew this was going to be my next goal. They will take the step when the time is right, as long as you maintain a good relationship and set the stage properly. So today, as we discuss another discussion and go through another lesson on becoming a companion with the Quran, we turn to how to raise these people. And it starts with developing yourself, controlling your tongue, developing good akhlaq, softening your heart, rethinking your approach, toning it down a little bit, letting go of some of that anger. Bring love to the front, and your children and the people that are in front of you, you will see them fall in front of you just to fit that mold that you represent. And they, inshallah, will become the companions of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.